Versus the sense realm. Faith versus the sense realm. And because we are in our senses, and they're God-given, but our senses really have nothing to do where our belief, our faith, is concerned. God has so purposed in his infinite wisdom, mind and thinking and understanding, to redeem, to save a people, he has chosen that we appropriate our redemption by faith. And he's got a reason for that, because faith, as we know, is a higher knowledge than man's intellect. His thinking, his understanding. Faith goes way, way above man's mind, intellect. That's why the intellectuals cannot understand the Word of God and understand faith. Because they try to understand, they try to claim faith, they try to own faith by their intellect, by their mind, by their pride. And you never will. That is why faith, our belief in God, is above man and his pride. And that is how God has purposed it, in which we are to be eternally saved. And that is the only way, by faith, that you will ever understand the revelation of God's word, from Genesis to Revelation. And you have myriads of religious books trying to understand the Word of God, written in the mere intellect of man. And it can never be achieved. And they're no nearer to finding God and embracing God and experiencing God with all their knowledge and understanding. God has chosen to bypass that. And that is why it is faith. And it's that that I want to speak on today with regards to faith that versus the sense realm. If you try today to appropriate what you are going to hear by your senses, by feeling good or feeling sad or happy or whatever, you will never understand faith. Now, of course, God is using our eye gate and our ears, which is part of our sense realm. So he uses the sense realm in which to get to our heart to release faith. But we never rely upon our eyes or upon our ears in order to understand and learn about God. Our ears, our eyes are simply a vehicle, if you like, in which to quicken faith, which is in the heart of man. And it is that that we look to, it's that that we anchor our whole being, our life, our destiny on faith, because by faith we overcome. It's by faith that we appropriate. It's by faith that we hear, read the word of God. That is how faith comes. Now, Hebrews 11:1, which we all know very, very well, which I just want to briefly talk about with regard to this teaching today, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now this tells us what faith is. And this is the basis on which you and I are justified. Justification, which means that we have been made right for God's presence. In other words, we have been covered by the blood of Christ that has dealt with sin that separates man from God. And because sin has been dealt with, therefore we have been now justified, and we now have been brought in a standing, and this standing before God is a covenant standing. It's not just standing right before God, but it is being entering into a covenant relationship with God. And we need to fully understand this. Faith is the basis on which you receive all the spiritual blessings in this life. Faith, believing in this word and all the promises that are in the word of God, is the basis on which we receive. This word that faith comes from, as we take it in, I'm going to put this quite crudely, but this is our survival kit. If we value our lives eternally, then in this Bible, in this book, is all about survival. Making it in to the kingdom of the evil one. Not being damaged by the spirit of this age. Being kept from deception. And all those vices, those things that the devil, like a roaring lion, is going to protect us. This will get us in to the kingdom of God. As we believe and we release faith in that which we hear by the Spirit. And that is why Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Sheep will hear this message today and will not be offended. Those who are not in Christ, sadly, will be offended. And the reason they're offended, because they're mentally trying to understand the word that they're hearing. And when you mentally try to understand the word of God, you're trying to understand it in your own pride, in your own self, in your own self-reliance, your intellect, your education, your background, all those things that we regard as so important. And yet they're the very things that Jesus said you surrender and give up to enter into the kingdom of God. The greatest thing that you surrender, your self-life, which is your worst enemy where God is concerned. That is what you surrender and give up. And yet you need faith for that. You need to hear that. You need to be able to release faith to believe that God is bigger, stronger, and greater than our self-life. Because it is our self-life that can seem as though it's impossible to ever walk this walk. And yet God says, "I am." And so faith is the basis on which you receive all the spiritual blessings contained in the Word of God. Now it says, that faith is the substance. In other words, it's actual, it's realization. It's a revelation. It's your eyes opened. It's like when you read this word, the word of God, by the Spirit, not in your intellect, but by the Spirit, every word that I read, I hear out of the Bible is real and never to be doubted or questioned. It is real. That's, it is the substance. Now, we know what substance is. You know, everything is in a sense made of substance. The very chair you sit on is a substance. It's made up of something, of atoms and so forth. So this word is real. It is substance to us. It is life. It supports us. The same as the chair that we sit on supports our weight. And we don't question or doubt that. Every one of us confidently sat down on these chairs today, and not one of us in this room ever thought for one second this chair is going to collapse the moment I sit on it. You didn't. You took it for granted. That's what God wants in believing this word, where you just don't even doubt it. You just believe it because it is real. It's real. It's a realization. And so he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so the evidence here is a confidence. I am so persuaded that what I believe, what I read, what I hear by the Spirit, I don't need to run around for confirmation. Christians that are running around from place to place, going from ministry to ministry, having the same old prayers said over them, simply proves they don't believe the Word of God. They're not influenced. And that's why they do it. You see, unbelief will always give itself away. And it gives itself away in our lives. But you see, the humble who walk before God will acknowledge that. They will see that unbelief and will do something about it to get it right, to get covered by the blood of Jesus. Because unbelief, Hebrews 6 tells us, is sin. And you deal with it as sin. That's why I said faith versus the sense realm. Your senses have got nothing to do with this, in this sense. How you feel or how you're feeling today has really got nothing to do with the way I am listening and taking in this word. Some of us may feel really down. Some of us may feel quite upset or tearful. Some of us might not be actually feeling very well physically. And those feelings and emotions, yes, they're real. But like the wind, they soon pass and they change. But the Word of God will never pass. It's resolute, it remains, and it will remain forever. Because the Word of God is God. And God came in flesh as the living Logos, revealing the Word of God to His people. And so that is what faith tells us. And so that is why we have that hope, that expectancy within our hearts. Every believer who's walking uprightly before God and in a covenant relationship has that expectancy within his or her heart. That is healthy. If I don't understand Christians who don't have that expectancy in their heart, there's something wrong with their faith. Because faith works that hope, that expectancy. Faith says, I've already received in Jesus' name. We might battle with it at times. The old devil can get vocal. But the fact is, it's in our heart. That action is there. We walk in accordance to that. That is why the new life in Christ, when we become Christians, we're born again, we have an expectancy. We're looking at another kingdom, another life, another future, another hope. They are all the healthy signs of being true believers in Christ. And I just don't understand it when you get these people who call themselves Christians and yet live like the world. We're not supposed to live like the world. This is why God is working with us to get us to totally trust Him. Yes, even for our physical bodies. And that's the big one, isn't it? That's still where we're falling short. And you know why? Because I don't feel well. Or I have gone to the doctor and the doctor has given me a very bad report and told me that I'm not too good, or whatever it is. So what report are you going to listen to? Is it their report or the report from Dr. Jesus? That by His stripes I was healed at Calvary. What report are we going to believe? You have a choice. And the problem is we're still trying to believe it intellectually, and you never will. How can you believe intellectually that by His stripes I was healed? You can't believe that intellectually in the mind. It goes completely against the grain. Because the intellect says you go to the doctor and take the pills. So God has to work with us to move us out of that realm. Out of the sense realms. Into the realm of the Spirit. That's why we preach and teach the deeper life. What reports are we going to listen to? We're now living in an age which is called the New Age. It's the age of Aquarius that was ushered in back in the late 60s. The flower power and everything. That was opening the door to the New Age movement. And it was a revival of ancient magic and charm, ancient religions. And we're now totally bombarded with it now. And it all looks very plausible. And it's all relating to Mother Earth and nature. But it's cultish. It's New Age. And God is delivering us from that. Because we're bombarded by it. We're bombarded today by what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. And yet, even Christians cannot take it seriously, what's really eating into me. You'll never get it right. We have got to move out of the realm of the senses into the realm of faith. God said He will provide for us. He will look after us. He will keep us. I have to provide everything for me to be sustained and kept in this life. Because if He doesn't, I am going to fall. I'm going to go back in this world. Because there's things in this world you can enjoy. There's things in this world, yes, you have fun. And if God in His mercy and grace doesn't sustain and hold and keep me and you from those things, we have no hope. And the way we do it is to believe. That simple childlike faith. I cannot do with all this New Age stuff that we hear today. That can sound so convincing, so logical. And it robs us of that simple childlike faith and trust that my God loves me and will sustain and keep me and provide for me. And He will put food on my table. He will put clothes on my back. He will pay for my bills that get higher and higher each month. He will look after my family, whom I believe in saved. He has promised. He's given all these promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus in His Word. They are His promises on the basis of simply choosing to believe. Some days I get up and it seems an effort to believe. And yet I'm not going to try and work that out. I would just say, I feel awful today, Lord, in the natural, but that has got nothing to do with faith, Your Word, Your promises, what You have provided. And I'm just going to, by the grace of God, walk this day. You know, some days, it's like there's no time. The moment you get up, it's like, where's the time going? You haven't got time for anything, and it seems as though God has taken a back burner. And then at the end of the day, you put your head down on the bed, you're absolutely exhausted, and you say, Father, You know my heart. You know this day I wanted time for You, quality time. It just seems that the spirit of this age robbed me. But I believe. And I know tomorrow, if You tarry, it will be different. And do you know what? When you wake up in the morning, guess what? It's different. All God wanted to hear was, you still believe Him and love Him. He knows that day you had. He knows exactly what it was like. He knows the enemy was there trying to rob and take all your energy and all your time. And what you wanted to do just didn't happen. You see, I don't arrange the day now. You see, years ago, I'm going to have 4 hours today with the Lord because I've got to study, got to get the Word ready and everything. I used to have it all. God's fouled all that up. And rightly so. Because I walk by faith. Not by Kim Page organising it all. You see? And so our life, our walk each day is different. No day is the same. But the point is, we walk in a covenant relationship with Him. It's the same in relationships, it's the same in marriage. Husbands and wives, do you feel every day when you wake up, oh, I'm so in love today with my husband. Oh, I just can't wait to put my arms around him. I just love him to bits, you know. You don't always feel like that. Some mornings you wake up and think, what on earth did I see in him? What did I see in him? And here I was, confessing for better, for worse, richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. I must have been out of my mind. What's it got to do with feelings? It's about faith. It's about covenant. It's about what you've committed yourself to. And you know what? By the end of the day, it's changed. You don't feel like that anymore. You see, it's when these emotions take over, this is when sometimes we sin with the tongue. Because then at that point we're letting out what is in us. The emotions that are in us. You see, if those emotions are so strong, they come out, they will express. That's why you see grief, anger, can just overwhelm, it can take us over, and it just comes out. It comes out. And to suppress emotions can be damaging. And some people do it. Particularly people who've been abused, who've known when they were young, they have a way of retracting, going into themselves, repressing. The memories are too painful. But you know, God has a way. And He has a way of even using, release that healing. God can do it because He's in complete and total control. But the point is, where our faith is and our belief in God and His Word, senses have got nothing to do with it. Many times you walk this walk and you don't feel Christian at all. Anything but. Well, what has that got to do with it? Where faith is concerned, And where the word of God is concerned and God's love for me and for him, what's that got to do whether I feel I am many times? But it's got nothing to do with how I feel. What it's got to do is about faith, our belief in God. And you see, God wants to reveal that the one who's in us, he sustains us, he keeps us. My life, my overcome is all about Christ in me, the hope of glory. And all of that is appropriated on the fact that I believe that he is in me. And in time, the evidence of faith, the substance, the reality of it, makes it real. Because I know it to be real. I know his power. I know his strength. I know that in weakness he makes me strong. So I'm persuaded. I am completely persuaded by that because God has influenced me. And that is what faith is to persuade us, to influence us, to cause our whole total weight to be put over onto one stronger than ourselves. It's like you put all your weight on it because you know that wall is going to hold you. It's the same as the chair you are sitting on. It's what I said this morning. That's what faith is about. So you're putting your weight, everything, upon God. And no greater source. Hallelujah. And so faith is the basis in which you receive all these spiritual blessings in this life. As I said, it is our survival. It's what's keeping us, sustaining us. The true saints of God, the bride that's making herself ready, walks totally by faith. And God is going to bring us to a total faith where we trust him for everything by faith. Yes, even for our finances, where we're not running to man for looking for help, running always to the bank manager, whatever it is. God will provide money for all your bills. Everything. And we know that it's getting worse and worse. Every year our bills go up. They never come down, do they? Now, that doesn't take God by surprise. It may us, but it never does with God. God just wants you to know if you're seeking the kingdom, he will provide. And all that frustration, all the anger, all the emotions that accumulate so often because of money, finances, marriages, relationships, so many of them are breaking up because of money. All of that God says I can deliver and will deliver you from, that you can totally rely and depend on me, that I will provide. And he says he will do it. That's why he's removing the unbelief to our faith that still hinders these things. You see. That we come to a place where we're anxious for none of these things anymore. You see, when we get rid of all these anxieties and everything, automatically our health changes. Life is flowing through us. Peace in our mind, our heart, our spirit. This is why people are running away to retreats. This is why so many people are turning to Buddhism, thinking that meditation is going to bring this peace and good health to one. It's a substitute. And I mean, if they're running to that sort of source, well, how much more should we run to the Prince of Peace, Jesus, who is our peace? And so that faith, that substance, is our absolute realization, complete assurance. So what you read in God's word, revealed to you, is absolute assurance. It is trustworthy. To the point that that's how trustworthy it is. Everything else in this life is suspect. Everything else in this life, you have to check. Wait. You're not sure. Everything. But there's one thing you never have to do. the word of God is completely trustworthy. You don't have complete assurance. Hallelujah. What a blessing, eh? That's why the gospel is such good news for those that want it. Trustworthy. The evidence is our confidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Read here that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. That's the time when Jesus was healing and the disciples were healing because God was trying to get a message over to Israel and rebellious Israel. No, he wasn't. Jesus was already turning to the Samaritans. Jesus was already turning to the world, to the highways and the byways, because he knew that his people were rejecting him. They didn't want his kingdom that he came to bring. No. God isn't going to let us off the hook on that one. That's intellectual thinking. If God saves us, then there's neither Jew, bond, Greek, free, slave, whatever. We're all one in Christ. And this is the problem with Christians who've taken Israel to such a point today that Israel is such a special nation, such a special people, that they are an extra special people when they're born again. No. That does Israel an injustice. That doesn't save them with that idolatrous attitude that is amongst so many Christians today who think this way. Of course we're to pray for Israel, and we do. And we do because of the light she had in the past. Her stand that she did have with God. But Israel is coming into judgment. Let's make no bones about it. You don't hear them saying that, but she is. You read prophecy, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. God is going to meet her face to face, and she's going to be purged. Not all of Israel will make it in, but a remnant. She is in unbelief at the moment. She is like the world and lives like the world and relies on the arm of the flesh like the world. It is God's mercy. And of course we know that we're only here because of Israel's failure of obeying God. But we all still have to believe and trust God and walk by faith. And so these promises, they are literally real. Now, in a court of law, to pass judgment, that is a proper court as we know it, you need evidence. If you go to a lawyer and somebody's done something or whatever it will be, you share your side of the story and what's happened, but a lawyer is going to say, we can't go any further with this. We cannot take this to court unless there is evidence. Can't do it. Now, if the court wants that evidence, a judge wants that evidence for a jury to decide whether guilty or not guilty, how much more should we, the Christian, if we're going to give our lives to Christ, we're going to be disciples, we're going to surrender our lives, even if it means to be martyred for the faith, I think God in his infinite wisdom, who is just and merciful, the greatest judge that ever will be, a just judge, is going to give evidence and requires evidence and will give evidence, will he not? He's not just going to get us to believe willy-nilly. And he says, this is the evidence. It's here, the word. That is the evidence that is needed that justifies. That is the evidence that says about your life and my life. That I am redeemed, saved, born again, baptized with the Holy Spirit, made right with God, a covenant relationship with Him, and not only that, but promises, myriads of promises on top of it as well as this whole thing surviving, preserving, and keeping us as well. That is the evidence. Paid through Christ shedding His blood at the cross, Calvary, sealing this evidence. Christ is the evidence. And it is appropriated by simply believing. And on the basis of simply believing, your mind, your heart, your very being is lit up by the presence of God. On the moment I chose to believe in Christ, my whole being lit up. And God revealed Himself and showed me that higher knowledge, that higher revelation that the world and religion cannot give. Hallelujah. And so when you read these promises for your provision to sustain and to keep you and I in this life, it should light us up. Because the Word of God is light. It's a guidance, it's a path for us. It shows us the way that we should walk. Hallelujah. Now, there are several areas that I want to talk on now as I bring this to a conclusion that I believe are real hindrances today amongst Christendom. And I believe that the reason that there is so much unbelief in the house of God is simply, I have to believe what I hear. And that it's real. And I'm not prepared to live it because there are trials that are attached to this. So there are some who are not really prepared to walk by faith and to believe by faith because we're told to make it into the kingdom of God, we must go through much trial and tribulation. And so because there's trials and tribulations, I'm not really prepared to walk that. And so they will deceive themselves. So they will let themselves think that they're walking by faith and that they go along to church and have paid their vows to God and their duty and so on. But really deep down in their hearts, they're not really prepared to walk and live by faith. In other words, to take that step out of the boat like Peter did. Because they're aware there's trials, there's testings. So that's one of the reasons that I think that plagues the house of God today. And that is why such little real faith is really to be found, sadly. Another reason is you cannot rely on the sense realm, which means you cannot be in control. And that is another big area. It means that they've learned enough about faith, that faith requires you to step out on the promises of God, not relying on how you feel, senses or whatever, and most are not prepared to do that because they like to feel that the sense realm anchors me. It keeps me in control. And that's why God doesn't work by the senses. Because our senses are in that sense, yes, to help us to be in control. As I said, our senses, our smell is very important. If we smell that the room is on fire, we begin to smell burning. That's a warning. That tells us something. But that's still got nothing to do with faith. If, and God forbid, but this room suddenly became a light and was on fire, and we can smell and we can feel that heat, then our faith says that that isn't going to touch me. Now, of course, if there's a door, there's an exit, you go through that. What do you do if the fire is round that door? That exit. And that's the only way of escape. When then your faith in God believes that somehow, and you can't work it out, you will get through that door. And if it means you walk through those flames and are not touched by those flames, just like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego that were thrown into the fiery furnace, then your faith says, I'm not going to get touched. You see? It's like that story, isn't it? And I've said it before, where you're hanging over the side of a cliff. And you're just hanging onto a branch, and the branch is beginning to crack and split, and there's a 1,000-foot drop underneath, and you're shouting out, help! Is anybody up there? Help! Is anybody up there? And then the voice of God says, yes, I'm there. Just let go. And the person hanging there says, is there anybody else up there? See, that's unbelief. That's what we do, because the senses. No, it's not good enough if God's there. No, give me somebody else. And that's our problem. It's our problem. Faith says it lets go. Don't tell me how you let go, you just do. I'm not going to try and work it out how I let go. I just let go. Anywhere in my life that I'm still in control, I'm still trying to work out, I'm still trying to work on, rely on the arm of the flesh, I have to let go. And it takes time. But ultimately, God wants us to totally let go. And we're all in this walk together. It takes time to let go. I know that Rome wasn't built in a day. But where you are still trusting in the arm of the flesh, you have got to be real with God and say, this cannot always keep going on. There's got to come a time, Father, when this stops, and I or my family, we totally trust you by faith. And it's what I want. And we'll never rest until we achieve this for your glory. You see? That's what an overcomer's about. But for many, oh, that's too big a price to pay. No way. As I once spoke to a sister years ago, she said, when I'm in a trial, I plead the blood and then I run. Well, where'd you run to? That's the question. There's nowhere to run. What's the point in pleading the blood of Jesus? Come against the powers of darkness. That is the point. People think, Christian thinks, that they can run somewhere else and the grass is greener. It's not. You take it wherever you go. You'll take your unbelief wherever you go. You've got to settle this word, brothers and sisters. He's now preparing us to walk totally by faith. We can't any longer rely, trust on the arm of the flesh, the spirit of this age. It is corrupt. It's getting worse and worse. It has a terrible control over you. You know what it's like when you go to the doctor because you've got a bad eye or you've got an earache. Just something very minor. And the next thing you know is you've got to go for a scan. You've got to go and see a specialist. You've got to go and get x-rays. And before you know where it is, they'll find something else wrong with you. And this wrong with you. What is it? Nothing but control. It's the same with everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You go and inquire. If you go and make an inquiry about something, or they want your name, your address, where you live, your telephone number, your email, they're checking you all out. They'll find out who you are. Doesn't matter what it is. It's complicated. Controlling. It's the spirit of this age. And God says He'll deliver us from all of that. Hallelujah. I always remember a friend of mine who was a Christian. And he came under terrible conviction because he was self-employed. And he realized that he owed the tax man some money. And they didn't know anything about this. And he could have got away with it, but he knew before God knew. And so he decided he'd ring the Inland Revenue. But what he decided to do was he'd go extra-rectory so that they couldn't trace his call. Because he knew what they were trying to do. And he rang an inspector and said, look, I'm a born-again Christian. And I'm just telling you that I'm going to be paying X amount of money to the Inland Revenue because I am self-employed. And being a Christian, I know that I owe you X amount. Will you give us your details? No. And he carried on saying, will you give us your telephone number? We need to know who you are so that we can put the record straight. We need to know who you are. He said, I am not telling you who I am. He said, I'm a child of I'm a child of God. And he said, God has told me to do this and you will be receiving this. Thank you. And put the phone down. They tried everything to try and get his ID, who he was, or to try and... They were already trying to trace that number and where the phone call was coming from, but he prepared for that, you see. That's the world you live in today. That is the world you live in. Big Brother watches. He's watching everything, controlling everything. Everything you're doing, the shops that you go in now, they're watching. Through the cameras, you name it, all the time. For the overcomer, God says, he'll keep us free from that. Because that will not hold us when Jesus raptures the church. And he's going to, because the bride's making herself ready. Hallelujah. You see, your senses will never go. So don't think because you're walking by faith, you know, my senses, praise God, at last they're all going to go. They're not. They're God-given. They're for a reason. What is going to go is you using your senses to think it's faith. So many Christians use the sense realm, believing, thinking that is faith. Oh, I can feel faith. I can feel the Lord's healing in the room. I can feel his presence. I can feel. Now, sometimes God can anoint. Sometimes I do have an anointing in the hand, which is simply confirming God's presence. But my faith isn't dependent on that. I mean, praise God, you know, we prayed last week, didn't we? For a sister online to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I knew, praise God, that I had received the word of knowledge from that. I waited. I just know when God speaks. And yet outwardly nothing happened. Well, we got to hear in the week, she is speaking in tongues. She's using them. I said, thank you, Lord. Because did the devil have a go? That I've missed it. And I give God all the praise, all the glory. But you know something? I knew it got nothing to do how I feel. Because I felt awful after that. And the devil, when you feel like that, you think, I'm never going to do this again. It ain't worth it. And I thought, no, this has got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with I'm feeling down or depressed or whatever senses. I walk by faith. God knows, he'll handle it. I stepped out, I did what God, I believe, told me to do. And when I settled that, then the good news came through. She's speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. See what the devil was trying to do? He was trying to take all of that. Because I didn't feel too good after it. You see, it was trying to affect my pride. Well, it doesn't look very good with your ministry, does it? You know, you're not getting your signs following and so forth. Doesn't matter. God knows how to glorify his name. He's the one that's in control. I'm just the vehicle. No, your senses will not go away, but you will not put your faith in your sense realm. Another reason why Christians don't want to walk by faith, because sometimes the manifestations of faith can take a long time. That's another reason. Romans 8, 24, 25. Romans chapter 8, 24 to 25, which says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And that's it. If faith is present, it's in the heart, hope is there. You're waiting, you're ready. It's on its way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whatever you receive by faith. And it starts in the faith realm, in the spirit. And then in God's right time, it is manifested in the flesh. The same with Abraham, Sarah, when they were believing for Isaac. All those years, believing that they had got a son. They'd already received it, got it, just hadn't manifested yet. But for some Christians, that's too much. They're not prepared to pay the price and walk that type of walk. This is why it's a whole waiting on God. Our whole life is waiting on God, waiting for the manifestations. Some in this church are waiting for their healing. Some are waiting for blessings. Some are waiting for a job. Some are waiting for a house. Some are waiting for the salvation of their families, their loved ones. Some are waiting for some money to come through to pay the bills at the end of this month. We walk by faith. That is the whole reason. That's why we're here today. Faith is such a good news. Let go. Let go of all these anxieties, these fears, these frustrations, this disappointments with God. Some of us are disappointed with God and we're holding it as resentment. Let it go. God will be faithful. And I'll tell you, when he blesses you, it'll blow your socks off. It'll be far more than you could ever even begin to imagine or whatever it is. Because our God is so generous, so giving. This is why I say the picture's always bigger. Your healing is much bigger. Your finances, your debts you're in are much bigger. Your rebellious son, the picture is much bigger. Because it's about the kingdom of God. It's bigger than you, yourself. What you're going through, your hurts, your needs, and so on. That's why this delays to our faith so often. Hallelujah. One of the main problems, finally, in the house of God is that faith is just not really taught. A lot of the faith that you hear today that's taught is just about to get saved and make it into the kingdom of God. But to embrace and believe all these promises, that costs. And sadly, a lot of ministries know that if they teach a total faith, a lot of their congregations start leaving. And that means the finances go down. Tragic. We dare not dilute, water down the word of God to make it palatable, appealing to man, his intellect, his pride. We dare not. You see, this faith walk, total faith, requires commitment, requires discipleship, requires the cross in our lives. It's all part of it. It's why we call it the deeper life in the spirit. Some assume that it's their right to receive by faith. They think it's my right to receive by faith. But the question is it their right when you're living in rebellion and sin? It's not your right at all. Get out of rebellion, get out of sin, then the promises of God are for you. Because the promises of God are conditional. They're on the basis of faith, obedience, humility before God. commitments. But some want to go a shortcut. And so they think they can have access to these promises, but still live a life of sin and live like the world. You can't. And then they go off eventually criticising the church and ministry and so forth. No, faith has to meet conditions. Faith has to meet God's standard. You see, God is revealing his standard this morning. Because he wants to bless us. He wants our faith to work. Why does he want our faith to work? Because we're told in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that faith is a gift. That he is the author and finisher of our faith. So it's what he has given. It is as a holy faith. So he's going to watch over this faith that as he started, it's going to be finished, which glorifies his name. That's why it is God's standard. And you see, you will know if you take faith very seriously, because you're going to stay with it. You'll know if you take this message today seriously, because you will stay with it. You will pray about it. You will want it in your life. It gives signs to us whether we take what we hear seriously or not. If we're not taking it seriously, then you're not in faith. Therefore, you can't release faith. And therefore, you cannot experience the blessings of God's promises. As I say, faith knows. You know if you're healed or not, because faith will know how to act. Two people can come up for the laying on of hands for healing. One will go away knowing that they've received by faith. The other will say, well, what should I do now? Should I continue going to the doctor? Should I continue taking my medicine? Should I do this? Should I do that? Well, you won't be asking that if you have received by faith. That is the question. Because faith is the knowledge. Faith is the revelation. Faith is what God says. And you know that. You don't have to be told that if you truly received it. You see? Because the Holy Spirit comes to reveal God's word to us. The Holy Spirit comes to interpret it. The Holy Spirit's come to say, to tell us, you are healed. The word you have received is the evidence. It's real. It's absolute. Therefore, you don't need to rush and find out any more understanding on what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. He has told you. You can't get that from any better source. But if you're an unbelief, no, I better go and get, I better just get this double checked. I better find out from someone else or whatever it is. Unbelief. No, we don't throw the book at anyone who's like that, because we've all gone through it, or we are going through it. The question is, be honest. Go before God. Repent of it until you come to that place of faith. God knows. Now, where it's wrong, and where some teachers who teach faith, where it's wrong, where they pound you all the while over the head because you're going to the arm of the flesh, you should be in faith, or you should be in faith now, you've been in this walk 6 months, that is wrong. That isn't love. We simply take you back to the basics. Go back to the beginning. Thank God why he still tarries. We have a chance to get it right and go back to the beginning. And get it right this time. Hallelujah. That's God's love and mercy. He's always working with us. He's always wooing us. Always wanting us to get it right. It's those that don't preach in the love of God. It's those who are cultish, because it's really the enemy that's working behind, is really trying to destroy that faith that is within you. That's the difference. Amen? So we know where we're coming from. We know what our Father is saying. We know what His heart is. We know what His word is and what He wants for us. He wants us to walk in wholeness, in mind, body, spirit. All is yours in this life. Everything is yours in this life. Even Christ as well, as it says in Corinthians. It is your inheritance. This that I hold is our inheritance, sealed and signed with God's blood. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We needed to hear it. We can never hear enough of it, Father. Thank you, Father, that the faith teaching is such good news to us, because it gives us hope, gives us life. It keeps us with it. Keeps us walking by faith. And so, Father, I pray this word will be a blessing to all those that want it, to all those that gladly receive it. I pray, Father, our lives will conform to that which we have heard today, that gives you all the glory and all the praise. And Father, be with us, help us, keep us, preserve us. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And Father, help us to walk by faith and not by our senses, by the sense realm or how we feel. That has got nothing to do with faith. It is simply choosing to believe. Help us, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Washed us in His word.